I told you we'd be back so soon. This is our spin-off episode. This is our summer movie wrap-up, our wrap party, if you will, for the summer movie season. Excuse me. they've been done for about a month now. But I would say it was pretty...
We were supposed to have done this episode about a month ago.
Yeah, it's true. But... We had a hiatus that we fell into because the world was ending. But, so again, you're welcome, world, for, I don't know, not being at the end.
For postponing for another little while.
Yeah. We had to take care of it. But anyway, we're here now. We're going to do it. And I think, you know, now's as good a time as any to do the summer movie wrap up before we get too far into the fall movie season.
Yeah.
So, like I said in the episode that you hopefully just listened to, we got looks like we have 8 categories of top fives that we're gonna go through, and we're just
sounds like a game show.
It does, doesn't it?
8 categories you have to choose from.
Good luck. Your top prize is $2. You're playing for what are you doing?
That's
there?
A really bad Jeopardy. I'm way off tune on that.
I'm not sure what you're doing.
I don't know.
That's all right, there.
I need more energy drink.
But anyways, unfortunately, Jaren is still not amongst the living. We're still...
In the middle of resurrecting.
The resurrection stone is recharging. Plugged in the wall.
We figured out a way. We don't have to take it to a magical sorcerer to... Repower it.
It's AC
connect it.
Powered.
Exactly. We jimmy rigged it.
So that's what happens when you get geeks doing stuff like that. We figure that stuff out. Hopefully from the comfort of the living room.
Indeed.
So anyways, we'll go ahead and start. And well, I guess actually before we start, it is just the three of us once again, just to clarify. Three of us.
Three amigos.
All those are used to like doing the actual movements because they can't see it, so I just
usually grunted three times.
Gotcha.
Three
times. All right,
all right. Let's continue.
All right, so
had a rough weekend.
We'll do the first category as the top five heroes of the summer movie season, and also to clarify, it starts with. What did it start with this year? What was the first? Iron Man 3 was the first one, and it ends with The World's End.
Was Great Gatsby before Iron Man 3?
It was after. It was a Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah. Wait, what about... Does it end with... I thought it ended with those really, like, not good movies that we weren't going to go see.
The Getaway?
Yeah.
Well, we're not going to... We're going to pretend that it was...
It ended with... The World.
It sounds better that way. It does. I just
would
remember.
Would you rather it end with The World's End, or would you rather it end with The Getaway?
World's End.
Yeah, there you go. So anyway, top five heroes. I'll start. Mine goes in order. From the bottom. I'll start from the bottom. The Warrens.
From the bottom. Now we're here.
Start from the bottom, now the whole team... we're going to start. Number five is the Warrens from The Conjuring. They're twins portrayed by Vera Farmiga and Patrick Wilson, who Vera Farmiga is from... I'm probably butchering her name, but she's... You would know if you saw her. She's in... gosh. What's that movie with George Clooney about the planes? Scratch that. Huh? Never mind. She's in a movie with George Clooney about like frequent flyer miles. I can't remember the name
Terminal?
Of the movie now. No, not Terminal.
Is that the one with Tom Hanks?
That's Tom Hanks.
No, that's Lost in Translation.
No, that's
Bill Murray.
All right, forget it. But no, Patrick Wilson, he is, he's in Insidious. He's also in Watchmen. Pretty decent actor.
Yeah, he's good.
But
he was
anyway.
Also in, he was the bad guy in A-Team.
Yes, he was.
Hmm.
He was, the bad, like, CIA guy or whatever he was. So the Warrens, they're pretty cool. If you've seen the movie, you completely understand why. Because they're paranormal researchers and investigators who are also exorcists. And The Conjuring is all about anything that could bump in the night.
Yeah.
It's a pretty creepy movie. It's definitely... It's scary to come out on Blu-ray, actually, at the end of this month, right before Halloween. So I recommend checking it out. Or, not this month. October. You know what I mean. Anyway, my number four is Kick-Ass, obviously from Kick-Ass 2. I mean, he, I don't know, like, the best way to describe it is that, like, he changes the character so much from, like, the end of 1 to 2, and then throughout 2 he changed as well, like, into, like, more of a no-nonsense, like, no
hero.
Longer a kid.
Yeah, hero. And he's not just running around, like, eh.
Yeah, and at the same time, like, he's a true hero in the sense of the word, because, spoiler alert, also, just so you guys know, listeners, there will be several spoilers throughout this. If you haven't seen these movies and you don't want to know the ending, you know, you don't have to listen to us. You can turn us off right now. This is your one and only shot.
No.
We're not too late.
One
late.
Shot.
You're
we're not
going to
call
enough.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, this is your one.
This is a spoiler cast.
Kind of,
yeah.
But there's a scene at the end of Kick-Ass 2 where Kick-Ass has the option to kill the villain, the mother effer.
Yeah.
And instead of letting him die, he does save him.
Yeah.
And if you watch the movie, you understand perfectly that, like, you would want, if it were you personally, you would want nothing more for this dude to die because he is a bad dude.
Yeah.
But instead of doing that, he, you know, tries to fall to the whole Batman trope of not killing anybody. Which is takes a true hero in my book, and since
yeah.
Kick-Ass is supposed to be like a like he's a real person, like he's not like a superhero in any way.
Yeah,
it's just that much more cool, I guess.
Yeah.
My number three is Tony Stark / Iron Man, and I say Tony Stark because if you've seen Iron Man 3, he goes through a pretty rough patch with you know.
Where he doesn't have the suit.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's trying to like figure out a way to like get his. To get to the bottom of what goes on in the movie with the Mandarin and with Aldrich.
He kind of tries to
Killian.
Be all secret agent.
Mm-hmm.
And
he succeeds,
like,
too. Like,
yeah, he doesn't have all his stuff, so he goes, like, all MacGyver.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of jimmy-rig some stuff together.
And with the help of that kid, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Helps him out. And what's cool, too, is to see him cope with the events of the Avengers and see him as a true vulnerable hero.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not the leader of the Avengers where he's, like, gung-ho and ready to do whatever. And almost sacrifice himself for the greater good. You see in Iron Man 3 that lay a heavy effect on him.
Yeah.
Like really, he's like upset and has nightmares and can't sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really cool. And of course, just Iron Man in general is just really cool. And Iron Man 3 was awesome. My number two hero is Gypsy Danger.
Yeah.
Come on. From Pacific Rim. And I couldn't choose one pilot or the other because it takes two to pilot one.
Man, it's the whole robot as a whole.
Yeah.
And, like, Gypsy Danger was just a BA robot that, like, took down Kaiju when no one else could.
I know.
There's a scene in Pacific Rim where several Jaegers, as they're called, the big robots, are taken out by two of them. And Gypsy Danger takes them both out.
Didn't he fight three at that point?
No, it was just the two.
It was just two.
They had three Jaegers.
Yeah.
Three. I thought it was supposed to be like a 3-3 battle, but it ended up being.
It was the Russian Jaeger. It was the Russian Jaeger, the Japanese Jaeger, and the Australian Jaeger.
The Chinese Jaeger.
Chinese. Well, the Australian, the father son.
Yeah, but you said Japanese.
Chinese.
Politically correct.
Excuse me. Chinese, and then but then with the Australian Jaeger and the Australian, two of them get taken out. One of them gets disabled, and then Gypsy Danger comes in and saves the day.
Yeah.
And amazingly, I might add.
I know. it was the gorilla.
And the flying lizard thing.
Yeah. I thought there was another one. I thought, like, one came back.
Later in the movie, they fight. Later in the movie, at the very end, they fight three. And he also Gypsy what about, Danger
wasn't there the, was it the big gorilla, the EMP one, too?
Yes.
He was the EMP.
Oh, okay.
One, so that's why you'd probably think the three.
Because, yeah, the EMP attack. I thought that was a different one. But, yeah.
No, the gorilla dude had the EMP, the flying one had the acid, yeah. And with the tail that, like, crushed the head of the Chinese one.
Yeah.
And then the gorilla dude drowned the Russians and then, like, crushed its cockpit underwater.
Yeah, it was so... I want to see more from the Chinese one. It had three arms and those blades. Like, this thing can do some damage. And then you don't really get to see it in action. That's kind of sad.
Yeah.
But it just kind of like... You're already pushing budget with that movie with all the graphics.
Oh, I know.
And,
oh, my gosh.
Hopefully now that it's doing so kind of good around that, hopefully they'll bring out more.
Yeah, it was such a good movie. I was very pleased. Mm-hmm. And then my number one hero is James Tiberius Kirk from Star Trek.
Yeah.
Into Darkness. He's a good one. Mainly because, I mean, obviously it's Kirk, so he's awesome, and Chris Pine is an awesome Kirk.
Yeah.
Like, he was born to play that role. But, like, what's amazing about it is that, like, he always put other people before himself, even when he thought there was no choice other than to do that. Like, if he had if there were several parts where he thought that, like, he could get away with, like, just him or maybe a couple people, but he refused to go that route.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end, he makes an ultimate sacrifice to save his crew.
And that is so awesome.
Which is a mirror of
the other...
Star Trek 2.
Yeah, but I was trying to think, what are they... It's different dimensions or how they describe it.
Timeline.
The timeline. In the alternate timeline, it was...
Spock
who took and it was so fun watching it because, like, he ends up calling up Kirk's away, so Spock's in charge of the ship, and he ends up calling up the alternate timeline Spock, you know, the older Spock, and he's like, did you all ever face this man, Khan? And he's like, it did, and he's like, but it came as one of the greatest sacrifices. And I'm like, he has to die. He has to sacrifice himself. Like, oh no, like they're doing it again. And then all of a sudden it's like Kirk runs in there and I'm like, oh, they flopped it on me.
And then Spock does the infamous
and like has the big showdown with him in the end.
Mm-hmm.
Like goes after him.
So good.
It really was. There's so many throwbacks in that movie to the old movies. Yeah. Like so many lines that are like just ripped out of the old one and they just kind of like change them a little bit. It was fun because we sat and watched the old one again right before we went and saw it. And so, like, me and Adrian are sitting there, like, laughing the whole time. We're like, oh, that part.
All right, boys.
That's a mine.
That's a y'all.
That's a mine.
For mine, five for me starts at Superman.
Nice. From Man of Steel.
The hero. As per se of heroes.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed the movie.
I
know there was
are you saying Superman as in Superman? Or someone from Superman?
Superman is Superman.
Okay.
It's Kal-El.
Kal-El.
I was gonna thought maybe you were gonna say like the dad. Because the dad definitely rocked in that movie. Like he was probably
the Russell Crowe's character?
Yeah.
He was good, but I would say Superman for Superman, you know. He was the hero, he wasn't the main character as per se. I enjoyed the movie, it wasn't my favorite movie of the summer by far, but it was an enjoyable experience. Mm-hmm. It was a fun action movie, they had good scenes in
it. It was worth seeing in theaters for sure.
Number four for me is probably Wolverine.
Nice.
I'd say Wolverine. It was a good movie, I liked it.
It was a surprise for me because I expected it to be bad.
I did too. I expected it pretty much to be dang. And then,
I mean, I had my issues with it. It was a whole lot better than the last one.
Oh my god!
And it was a lot better than I thought it was going to be. There was a few issues. I felt a little like, I don't want to say betrayal. Like, I felt they did Silver Samurai wrong.
Yeah.
I felt like there should have been more to him than the old man trying to gain back his youth. Like, that was, like, kind of a new story, but, like, Silver Samurai is, like, one of Wolverine's, like, arch enemies throughout the comics, and it made it just seem kind of, again, it's a movies, and they do a lot of one-shots, and a lot of characters, villains, don't survive through multiple movies. But it was just kind of like, I feel like there should be more, that it just didn't sit well with me in the end.
Yeah, I would say. But the ending was amazing. The stinger at the end was
amazing. That was worth going to see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the whole reason to see that movie. Yeah. Like, the movie's not terrible, but that stinger at the end is amazing.
It is. Number three for me would be Percy Jackson. From Sweet. Percy Jackson and Sea Monsters. Yeah, I know it doesn't get the biggest, you know. There's not the biggest thing that happened, but I enjoyed the movies themselves. I think they're really good movies. I really enjoyed the first one, The Lightning Thief, and things like that. So, plus mythology is one of my, I really like mythology, so yeah. Around that, it's one of my favorites. Two is going to be, his name escapes me from it, but Idris Elba. His character in Pacific Rim.
Oh, the general?
The general. I count him as number two just because how amazing he pulled off that part.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. He was just...
He's one. I wish he was Nick Fury so bad.
Okay, let me see if I can get him. Stacker.
Yeah.
Stacker. He was really amazing. Which also, if you know him, he plays... he's actually
Luther.
He's Luther. He's actually in Thor as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah. He's... Yeah. The gatekeeper.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably maybe kind of a reason they wouldn't cast him as Fury, but man, like, to me, he'd be
better than Nick.
One of the most, yeah. Like, most awesome Nick Furies.
He'd be a really good one. But yeah, to me, just, you know, the sacrifice at the end, just everything that he pulls off.
Yeah.
I mean, he just comes off like one, he's like the original, like, Jaeger.
I mean,
one of the original Jaeger guys.
He's like, you know? He's original BA.
Mm-hmm. And number one would be Iron Man, Tony Stark for me.
Nice. Nice. Good list.
I don't know, mine's a little more limited because I didn't see as many this year. The movies, I was kind of... I don't know, I guess it just felt, eh. Through a lot of the movies.
Yeah.
There's stuff like I'm going to go see because I'm going to go see it. But like... Pacific Rim and The World's End were definitely the only two movies that I was like, I got to go see. Like, I have to go see.
This has to happen.
Like, I will die if it does not happen. And so, number five. So, I thought you were going to say last time, when you're talking about Superman, I thought you were going to say his father, which to me, he outshines Superman in that movie.
Surprised as to the amount of screen time Russell Crowe's character had, but I was happy with it too.
Yeah, so. Like, I thought it was only going to be like a little bit, but then he had the whole thing with like him and the ship, and he's like, he's dead, but he is like fighting, and...
Helping.
Saving them all, and like he's breaking Superman free, the girl free, gets her safety. Like, I enjoyed watching him more than anyone else in there.
Yeah.
Let's see, who else? Number four, I feel kind of bad like saying this because one of my favorite superheroes ever, but just because of the way the movie is and stuff, would probably be Wolverine. Because, like, the fanboy in me wants to put him at, like, one or two. But, like, it was just kind of rough. And I had there's some things that happened in the movie that I'm just like, really? And, like, I always like movies, and I'm always, like, nitpicking. And Wolverine, I'll nitpick, like, crazy just because I'm such a Wolverine fan that it's going to be hard to please me when it comes to Wolverine just because of it. But I'll say Wolverine 4, Iron Man 3...
No, wait, the movie or this list?
No, like him, Tony Stark, Iron Man.
But you just said, three, Iron Man, Tony Stark, Iron Man 3. That's the movie.
Iron Man, it comes in the number three slot. No, it does need more Red Bull. Please, Red Bull, sponsor us and send me Red Bull.
You're going to get home and there's going to be a crate of Red Bull on your front door.
Back home.
Like a whole palace.
Yes!
Like, how did that happen?
We haven't even released this episode yet. They're spying on us. There's microphones in the cans.
That is weird.
Okay. Number two, I wouldn't say Gypsy Danger as a whole, but the main character. I forget his name now. It eludes me.
Yeah, that Charlie Hunnam played.
Yeah, Charlie. Yeah. What is his name? Like, I don't remember any of their names really. Like, their names were kind of.
I remember the Jaeger names.
Beckett, that's right.
His last name Beckett. Raleigh Beckett.
Yeah. Raleigh Beckett, yeah. Yeah, I'd say him. Because he definitely had his moments.
I mean, he piloted a two-man machine.
By himself.
And said the only with an injury to his arm.
Yeah, the only person
to
be able to do that was, of course,
the captain.
Stack.
Yeah.
And he was he's the second one to do it. You know, but
after getting like part of a kaiju, was it through his arm or the arm was ripped off and it hurt it like it like?
Yeah, it actually messed him up.
Yeah,
because of the way it's in, and then he pretty much single-handedly drops a nuke on the alien. He gets to visit the alien planet, other dimension, drops a nuke in, and is like peace.
The co-pilot, was she, like, passed out or something?
Yeah, and he sent her up. Yeah, so that makes twice he piloted a Jaeger by himself.
That's true. He was a beast.
He did it twice.
Yeah. And the second time being the most, like, important time, because he, like, stopped the...
Yeah.
Stopped the rift.
He is in the middle of the rift, sent her out, like... She dipped, and then he just goes in and drops a nuke, which is essentially the Jaeger, because the Jaeger's nuclear. That's how it was ran on the nuclear. And he kind of drops in, and he's like, yep. Boop. See ya.
Yeah.
And pretty much destroys at least a large chunk of an alien race.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wouldn't say the whole alien race, because who knows how big their planet is, and, you know.
Well, let's just say it closed off their access to
Earth. He pretty much destroyed at least a good section of their army and the access to the world. He just single-handedly, so I'm like, he's definitely coming in at number two. And at number one, it is Nick Frost's character at World's End. His character
Andrew Knightley. I have him on another list, actually.
He is my favorite, just because he has this whole I'm retired type thing going on, and it's
trying
not a superhero movie, and he's like, I don't do that anymore, I'm retired. And then, like, five shots in, he's back, and he's, like, wielding chairs and, like, tearing up. Like, he, like, takes on all the aliens at once, and he's, like, slamming them, ripping them apart. And then, you know, like, he just kills it.
I hate this effing job!
Like, he is
rips his shirt
murderous.
Out.
It's so funny.
He even punches a robot in the tummy, as they call it. Because I just got my wedding ring out of a robot's tummy!
Like, he definitely was my favorite hero. Like, he stole that movie away when his character... And then definitely, like, he is my number one hero for pretty much saving the world. Like, he was, I know it was kind of Simon's character who did all the talking, but, like, Simon's character would not have made it anywhere. Like, he would have died if Nick Frost's character was not, like, his bodyguard the whole way.
Pretty much.
And trashing aliens right and left.
Yeah. It's the smashy, smashy Eggman. You have to see World's End. If you don't see any of them, you have to see Pacific Rim and World's End. All right. So, next one, top five sidekicks, which mine is, I actually have Andrew Knightley as my number one. Because he is a hero.
Mm-hmm.
He could be on either one, but, like, Nick Frost is always the sidekick character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, like, I put him as my number one. My number five, though, starting at the bottom, is Tonto from The Lone Ranger. I mean, it's Johnny Depp. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Enough said.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I know a lot of people said that it was, like, a Western Pirates of the Caribbean, and Tonto was, like, a Western Jack Sparrow. But, like, I liked him as Tonto. I thought he did a really good job.
Yeah.
He was funny. He was, I mean, he was awesome. A lot of cool action scenes with him, too. Also, like, or number four is, I forget how you pronounce it, Yuriko from Wolverine. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Not his love interest, but his, like, partner, kind of.
Yeah. She was pretty boss.
She was a beast. Yeah. Like, in the very beginning when they go in the bar and she, like, slices everything and then, like, puts her sword away or hits the sword or whatever and, yeah. like, everything, like...
drops.
She was pretty cool. She was just, she was, like, a very cool, like, mysterious, mm-hmm. neat character. Number three is Spock for me. Because mm-hmm. yeah. even though he was also a hero... He was like your typical Spock, and he was more humanized in Star Trek, and like opened up more as a like his human side opened mm-hmm. up more.
Yeah,
and he allowed more emotions to like kind of take over, especially when Kirk died.
Yeah,
and he like chased down Khan and beat the ever living crap out of him on top of
yeah,
him.
Pretty much
after getting the ever living crap beat out of himself.
Yeah,
he still was just like. It took Uhura to, like, beam onto the thing and be like, no, for real, stop.
Don't kill him. You can't kill him. You have to take him in.
So Spock's number three. Number two is Hit Girl from Kick-Ass 2. Like I said earlier, or in the previous podcast, she, like, really, really came into her own in this one. Like, she was mm-hmm. awesome. She had her own fight scenes with, like, villains and, like... She kind of had a weird relationship with Kick-Ass where she kind of, like, developed a crush on him, but yeah. she was, like, he was still, like, a big brother kind of mm-hmm. figure.
Yeah.
So it was a weird dynamic, but it was, I mean, both Aaron Johnson, who plays Kick-Ass, and yeah. Chloe, who plays Hit Girl, they did a phenomenal job, like, kind of playing out that awkward, like, mm-hmm. sexual yeah. tension between one another. And it never came to fruition. They never did anything, but it was still cool. Thing to see. And then, like I said, number one is Andrew Knightley from World's End.
Yeah.
I'm showing you the door.
Is it a door?
I don't see a lintel.
It's a window.
Sidekicks for me.
Sidekicks is hard because I don't think I've seen enough movies for sidekicks. But I'll go ahead and shoot out like a three.
Some honorable mentions?
Agree with. Honorable? Yeah, I'll definitely agree with Mika. What do we call her?
What's Yuriko?
Yuriko.
Yuriko?
Yeah.
From Wolverine.
Mm-hmm. like, some of the movies are very, like, World's End. And then, like, your main characters all played such big roles. Like, it's kind of hard to say sidekick.
Yeah.
It's almost Avengers style to where they all had such a big role. You can't really say sidekick.
Yeah.
Because you wouldn't say, like, Thor's Iron Man's sidekick.
True, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, it's kind of hard to, like, from the movies I've seen, like, people have played such a dynamic role that mm-hmm. it's kind of hard for me to say he's sidekick. But, yeah. I guess she's kind of the only real sidekick that I would say, besides the other, other chick that helped pilot Gypsy Danger in the end.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I would say her being, she would... I say encompass a true sidekick.
Mm-hmm.
I say those two, and I can't remember her name.
I would say also throwing out there Guy Pearce for Iron Man 3,
mm-hmm.
being the Iron Patriot.
Oh yeah,
he did a good job.
Yeah, that I think he does.
He did a good job.
Sidekick.
Mm-hmm.
Like he does enough action in mm-hmm. it, but enough. He kind of has his own, but at the same time, he definitely mm-hmm. was.
I would throw him in this one out there. Because story-wise, it's about this person, but it's the book's about this person. But I would say Leonardo DiCaprio as the Gatsby.
Because
In book-wise, he technically is the sidekick. He's not the main character.
Well, yeah, because being told, the book and movie's told from
Nick Carraway's
yeah.
perspective.
Mm-hmm. Which would make him the main person, mm-hmm. but technically would... So I could probably do that. I didn't think about it that way.
Also, I would say Woody Harrelson in Now You See Me.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I'd find him because he was really good now.
Yeah,
he was
the illusionist.
He was the big comic relief of that group.
He was, yeah,
and he made me laugh a lot.
I liked him.
Anyone else? Of course, you have what? Billy Crystal. There's Mike, of course, and
Mike Wazowski and James Sullivan.
He's the big sidekick of that one.
Okay, well, that's good. You want to do the villains now?
Yeah, we go ahead.
All right. My
top. Oh, one more.
Go ahead.
Just one more. John Malkovich in Red 2.
Oh, yes! Absolutely!
I totally forgot about that.
Forgot, yes. I love John Malkovich in Red 2. He was hilarious. All right, so top five villains now. My number five is the Mother Effer from Kick-Ass 2. Played expertly by Christopher Mintz-Plasse. I mean, a true villain. Like, you hate this kid. Like, you hate him. You hate him. Like, he does terrible things to Kick-Ass and his family. Does terrible things to, like, the town and the city. He is a bad little sh**. I do not like him. He makes me mad. So, there's that.
There's that.
But he is an excellent villain. He did, Christopher Mintz-Plasse did so good. And, like, his sidekick, John Leguizamo, was really good in it, too. And then he had a bodyguard, Mother Russia. Like, there's just a bunch of, every villain in Kick-Ass 2 was just so well done.
Yeah.
My number four is Butch Cavendish from The Lone Ranger, who's played by William Fichtner, who's, he played in Armageddon. He was one of the pilots for the shuttle. He played in, you'd recognize him if you saw
him.
Yeah,
I know who you're talking about.
But he did such an awesome job as, like, a disgusting, like, both physically and, like, as a human being, like, as far as morals go.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he ate the Lone Ranger's brother's heart after he killed him. Like,
yeah.
Tore his heart out and ate it. He's gross. Like, he has, like, a thing on his lip. He has a rattlesnake rattle hanging from his hair. Gross dude, but excellent villain. My number three would be Agent Kruger from Elysium, which is, interestingly enough, portrayed by Charlton Copley, who was the main character in Neil Blomkamp's first movie, District 9.
Mm-hmm.
He played Wickes, which was the, he was, like, the guy that, just the main character in District 9. Yeah. He's the bad guy in Elysium, and he is an awesome bad guy. He's, like, a agent for the government that, like, he's basically an assassin, and he, long story short, decides to go against the government, and he has all the tools of the government at hand, because he's learned how to, like, hack systems and, like, yeah, bypass stuff, and he's mentally unstable in, like, the nth degree. So, like, him and Matt Damon have, like, some really cool scenes together, and, like, later on in the movie, when it, like, things really go to heck, he really, like, shines as, like, a villain. Like, yeah. Oh, God, this dude has got to be taken out. Someone's got to take this dude out. My number two is General Zod from Man of Steel.
Yeah,
that's good. Michael Shannon did an awesome job as General Zod. Like, he was such a good villain. And, like, I don't know, I just really enjoyed watching him.
Yeah.
Like, my biggest thing is, I'm going to announce, say this before I announce my number one. A movie is only as good as its villain.
Yeah, that's very true.
And if you're a villain, your job is to create as much distrust
and hate.
And hate and, like, chaos as you can.
Mm-hmm.
And Khan, my number one,
yep,
from Star Trek Into Darkness, clearly did that.
Well, because, like, you wanted to see him too because he was so awesome. Yeah. But then, like, God, he's such a bad guy.
And you wanted him to be good when him and Kirk teamed up. You're like, I'm hoping that maybe, like, things are going to change. And,
different, like, this time around.
He'll be, like, an anti-hero. Like, he won't join their team, but he'll, like, go off and leave them alone and never be heard from again, you know? But then he ends up being bad, of course.
Yep.
So, yeah, there's my five villains. Let's go.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to think.
Also, just to clarify, I just realized this. I said Guy Pearce as Iron Patriot. It's Don Cheadle.
Oh, I didn't even notice.
You did.
I did say
Guy Pearce. I didn't even notice, actually.
I just realized that myself. I was just like, wait a minute.
It went right over my head. I don't know. Like, it's hard. I definitely... Zod is up there. Like, I don't think enough of the villains... Like, the Wolverine, like, Silver Samurai wasn't a good enough villain for me to put in there. And I mean, I missed a lot of the other movies. So it's kind of just an honorable mentions with Zod and Khan.
I go out there and say Kaiju.
Yeah, Kaiju. And, what is his name? The husband in Great Gatsby.
Gosh.
I'm terrible. We really didn't do our homework real well on this one, did we?
I will figure it out.
Going back, really quick, I just thought about this. Psychic honorable mention, the scientists in Pacific Rim.
Yeah. Oh!
Charlie Day. And the other guy.
Oh, yeah. Man, yeah.
And, like, you can't have one without the other. No. Like, they completed
their... They're the comic relief and the most amazingness.
Charlie Day is, like, a strung-out, like, kaiju scientist that had, like, the tattoo sleeves.
Yeah, and he's, like, halfway admires the kaiju. Like, he's super fascinated with them. And then you have, of course, Ron Perlman in that movie. Cracked me up, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was good.
He's always good, though.
Cracked me up. Yeah. Do you figure out what his name is?
I have not. I can't remember.
You looking in? Flip the IMDb.
I am, but I can't remember his name.
You don't remember what he looks like?
Well, his picture looks different.
IMDb.
Tom Buchanan.
Yeah. Yep. That's right.
Tom Buchanan.
He was really good. Because like you even at times almost felt sympathy for him.
Mm-hmm. At times.
But then at times.
And then he did something stupid and you're like, I don't like him anymore.
Like, he needs to die now.
Yeah. And then you remember reading in high school and you're like,
he doesn't die. Like, God, I remember. It doesn't happen. Yeah. So those would go as my tops, I guess.
Yeah.
His top.
What about you, eh?
Any others? I'm trying to think if there's any others that stand out to me. Really, I don't think there is. Well, I'd say number one, Smashy Smashy Eggman.
Smashy Eggman.
Or you could say...
You could give Pierce Brosnan that.
Pierce Brosnan.
Because he definitely was pretty...
He was pretty... Yeah, he turned into the kind of...
He was kind of villain-esque. I mean, he really didn't do anything, but like...
Or you could say Bill Nye.
As the voice. But like, definitely Pierce Brosnan when he'd like... Because he just sit down and he's like... He's the...
Join us. It's your only chance.
I know. He just has that,
he played the Bond villain.
He really was.
He was a Bond villain, and he did an awesome job.
Yeah, he turned the tables, and this time he was the villain.
I love Pierce Brosnan, though.
Oh, yeah.
He's so good at pretty much anything he does. All right, well, we'll take our first quick break, and when we come back, we will do a few more, and then we'll wrap it on up. All righty, we back, we bickety-back. Bickety-back-back, wiggity-back.
Bickety-back.
And on the next category... You have joined us for the Summer Movie Compendium Wrap-Up Party.
Welcome.
We need Gladys' voice.
We do. That'd be pretty sweet.
Which was awesome that she was in Pacific Rim.
Yeah. That was pretty cool.
When I saw the trailer, I was like, no way!
I didn't know. When I heard her voice in the trailer, I was like, what is going on? This is a weird Portal movie.
And it's like, she's in Godzilla? What?
What is happening? My next
what's our
topic
next
is the top five wow moments. Basically, wow. Moments that were just like, man, that is so cool.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't even see it coming, or I did, and it was still cool.
And all of The World's End.
Right, the entire movie. Just
like you, I don't know how many times you've seen the parts in the trailers, like you still laughed really hard when you saw it in the movie theater.
It's such a good movie. Oh my gosh. I can't wait for it to come out. I will laugh so hard every single time I sit down and watch it. For me, number five is the demon rape from The World's End. Or, not The World's End. This is the end. Not The World's End. Nobody gets demon raped in The World's End. But in This Is the End, Jonah Hill gets... he gets a late night visit by a demon. And it doesn't end well for poor Jonah. And I didn't see it coming, and it was hilarious. Yeah. His reaction afterwards is even funnier, because he's just, like, really, like, not okay. But he tries to pass it off as being, he's fine, but it's just not, it's not.
No.
But it was pretty, it's funny and disturbing. It was good.
I'll get to see it now.
It's pretty funny. Number four for me is the big plot twist in Now You See Me. And I'm not going to ruin it for you, because
it's a pretty good one.
I didn't see it coming. I won't say anything more than that. It may not be the best movie this summer, but the plot twist was really, really cool.
It was really nice.
So check out Now You See Me and enjoy it. It's a good heist movie. Seeing the Kaiju for the first time was my number three. Because it was really cool. Like, it was just something that, like, we've all anticipated the entire time before the movie came out. And then finally seeing it. And hearing them and seeing, like, there's, like, what, at least 9 or 10 different species or categories or whatever?
Yeah, three water, an ape, a flying.
And that huge one at the end, that was the water one.
No, and not him, is the one of three water.
And you see, like, them in the news, like, and just,
there's
like,
just multiple different ones. Yeah, the one that attacked
Sydney,
one.
The crab one that attacked the Asian chick and, like, took out her town that the captain saved her from. I mean, there's just so many of them, and each one of them, every time you saw one, you got more and more pumped and more and more excited. Like,
I mean,
just
seeing
so,
the sheer scale of everything.
It was so cool. Number two for me is the Gatsby reveal. They couldn't have done a better job than they did in The Great
Leading
Gatsby.
Leading up to that, it was...
walking up the stairs, when Nick was walking up the stairs, and they're talking about the Gatsby and, like, what type of person he is, or what he does, and everyone's, like, speculating and guessing.
Yeah.
And then he gets to the top, and then, like, you just think it's another partier, and he turns around and hands him the drink.
Yeah.
And he has that, like, little cocky smirk on his face when the fireworks going off. Man. I fell in love with him. I was like,
perfect.
I'll marry you, Jay Gatsby.
Perfect.
It was just so cool.
It was.
And then my number one wow moment is the final encounter with the evil entity in The Conjuring. Few movies really make me feel uneasy as far as, like, terror goes. Like, really, truly spark that primal fear. The Conjuring did in so many levels.
Yeah.
The Conjuring is a movie that, like, if you have an issue with horror movies, this one will give you nightmares. It will cause you...
For months.
It will cause you to, like, have a hard time going to sleep. Trust me, because that's me. What The Exorcist was for people in the 70s, and how, like, uneasy people felt, but they loved it. It was such a good movie. But, like, afterwards, they're like, I feel, like, gross and freaked out. I don't know what's going on. That's what The Conjuring was. It was so good. And the final encounter with the Warrens against the evil entity is just... I won't ruin anything, because you'll have to just see it and experience it for yourself. It's just a 20-minute, like, scare fest.
Yeah.
And it's awesome. And it's coming out before Halloween. If you don't watch it before Halloween, you're a wuss. I'm calling it right now. You're a wuss. Anyway, I kid.
Me?
Go ahead.
I'll actually go... Let's see. I won't name them in particular order, but just some that stand out. It was definitely Iron Man 3.
The
ending with all the suits.
Yeah, that
was just
an
awesome part. Yeah. He's like, release it. Boom! And there's tons. There's the Hulkbuster.
The Iron Legion.
Pretty much the Iron Legion and everything. It was really awesome to me.
That goes on my list.
Of course, the guest reveal I really liked. And Pacific Rim, next to Kaiju, but one scene that really made me go, wow, was when the first, when you know, Ilba sacrificed himself, and the atomic bomb went off, and they're underwater, and then suddenly, there's no water, and you're like, what happened?
Yeah.
And then you see the fish just start falling, and you're like, they blew out the ocean. You're like, oh, wow. And then the whole ocean just comes whooshing back.
Yeah.
It's like, that was an awesome scene.
Yeah, because you were confused for a second about what just happened. And, like,
Did the water get vaporized? Mm-hmm. Like, what happened?
Yeah, they just destroyed the whole Atlantic or Pacific. Also,
one that we haven't really talked about today, but kind of made me wow and laugh really hard at the same time, was the chicken scene in The Hangover Part 3.
Oh, yeah. My God. Yes. Yes.
When he smothers the chicken.
Oh my god, and Chow could not set one. For so long. I think me and AJ laughed way too hard and way too long. Yeah, people in the movie theater were like, what are they like? Why is it so funny? It was hilarious. Like,
you've won a lot of battles,
but you won't win this one.
He's struggling. It's terrible, terrible.
It is. It's terrible. Oh my god, so funny. I'm trying to think.
Kind of the one that made me go, oh, at the first was The World's End when he first decapitates his head in the bathroom.
Oh, yes. Yes. Whoa, whoa.
That's definitely one of them.
Yeah. Actually, another one for me from the Lone Ranger and actually from Wolverine, mm-hmm. two similar scenes. There's a two-train...
The train ride. Yeah, even knew that coming. That was definitely really cool in Wolverine.
And Wolverine, the bullet train sequence in Wolverine was really cool, where Wolverine, like, juked the one guy. They're dodging the signs, and he was like, acting like he was going to jump. That was really cool. And then also in Lone Ranger, there's a double train chase sequence / gunfight that's really cool. And the entire time, it's the old school Lone Ranger, like, like, it's really, really well done. It's over the top, like, action. Like, there's no way the horse can jump from the top of a moving train to another moving train.
Yeah.
But it looked good.
Like, yeah.
It was really just a fun 10-minute sequence, so.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if there's anything else for me, too. Mm-hmm. No, I think that might be about it. So, next one, top 5 fight scenes. Like, just really cool action sequences. We already mentioned the Iron Legion. That was a really cool scene. Because really Jarvis was controlling all of them.
Yeah.
And, like, that was just a cool... seeing the different suits from, like, comics and cartoons.
Oh, yeah. It just had a whole lot of them. It had the Hulkbuster holding up the whole entire...
Yeah, like, you had that. You had, like, the deep-sea diving ones. Mm-hmm. You had the jackhammer.
Yeah.
I forget its name, but the one that had, the jackhammer arms. Yeah. It was like... It was just really, really cool. Mm-hmm. And, like, aficionados of the Iron Man, like, franchise, like, I remember when I was watching theaters, I was like, there's so-and-so, there's that one. And it was all, what was cool about it is that they didn't focus on, like, individual ones. Yeah. It was just, like, a big grab bag, like, see whatever you can see kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I thought that was, like, really well done. also, the fight between Jack and Dylan in Now You See Me. James Franco's little brother and Mark Ruffalo in Now You See Me. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Where he uses pretty much nothing but illusions to fight him.
Yeah.
That was really cool. Like,
he picks up the car. Really?
And, like, he, like, throws, like, the paper that's, like, in the fire.
The fire paper in his face and, like, does, like, all that kind of stuff. It's a really good fight.
My favorite is when he gets kicked into the curtain.
Oh, and then he disappears.
He, like, disappears, then he comes out on the other side of the room. It's so cool.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah.
And, like, he uses the mirror to make it look like he's, like, in front of him.
Yeah, from magician fighting. It's...
It was pretty sweet. Like, I didn't expect something like that in that movie, but the whole time I was like, what?
Yeah. Like, oh, what? And he's, like, all doing this, like, contortion, like, trying to get out of stuff.
It was really cool. Another fight scene. The Gypsy Danger versus, we talked about it a little bit, Gypsy Danger versus the ape and the flying lizard one.
I think it's the...
One robot took out two kaiju in a span of, like, 15 minutes.
Yeah, that whole, minutes. Both the fights. Mm-hmm. But I definitely liked... The second half of that, when he's going after in the ship, he's like dragging the battleship, and it's just like he's just been through a lot fighting that ape one, and now he's like just dragging. He's like, all right, your time
and
to go.
He clocks it in the face.
He wields it like
I just remembered one too for a WoW scene that we totally forgot.
What's that?
Head Crush, Star Trek.
Oh, yeah. Kills Marcus.
Yeah.
Admiral Marcus.
Yeah.
Ooh. Everyone in the care go, ooh.
Yeah.
was pretty.
And breaking the girl's leg.
Oh yeah, that was that one got me worse though than the head crush, because I was like, Marcus is a dead man. At some point, he's gonna get shot or sucked out into space, or Khan's gonna kill him. But he walked past his daughter and just like stomped down her legs. I was like, jeez, he is brutal.
He's bad man. Bad man.
But I also fight the Spock versus Benedict Khan was a good fight.
Yes, it was. It was very. The whole chase sequence. Yeah.
When he put the nerve pinch on him, you're like, oh, got him.
Yeah.
And I liked it when he went to go crush his head.
Yeah.
And it was hurting him, so he did like the meld thing so that he could feel the same pain. And so that he would stop or whatever.
Yeah.
That was pretty sweet. And I like the. My favorite fight, though, my number one, is the Beehive Barroom Brawl.
Oh, yeah.
In the World's End.
Oh, my goodness. Dude, all the fights in the bar. Like, the first one was really good. Then the drunken master fight.
Yes.
Like, the drunken boxing. Mm-hmm. Like, all the fighting in that. Like, it's so good. Like, it's so funny. Like, there's always a perfect mesh between action and comedy.
Mm-hmm. I'll say one over there, too, is probably Zod versus Superman as well.
Mm-hmm.
When they're in the air fighting, when they're flying, finally.
They're very destructive.
Yeah, they're very destructive.
Yeah. Kind of.
I thought the cinematic experience of it was good.
Yeah, like, they showed you, but then, like, by the end of it, you were like, I kind of knew. You're like, I've seen it already a bunch of times.
And seeing Khan take out a squadron of Klingons.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
With a rifle and what appeared to be a laser cannon.
That he wielded.
Yeah,
that doesn't look like it should have been wielded by a person. And let alone he's one-handing it with a rifle in the other hand.
He wielded it with one hand, swung it as a club a couple times, and took out, like broke legs and hit faces. And then, like, would spin around, shoot a couple people with a rifle, and
like
then, like,
a ship vaporize.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like,
and took out, like, a line of Klingons when, like, Kirk was on his back, and they were coming to get him. Yeah, he, like, vaporized them all, like, cut them in half before they could get to him.
Yeah.
With one hand.
One-handed.
Yeah.
He dual-wielded. Like,
That was pretty beast. That was pretty cool.
And then Kirk, like, tries to, like, punch him and beat him up afterward. And he done? Khan's just like...
And then later on when he's, like, in the little cell or whatever, he's like, are you going to punch me again? Over and over until your arm gets tired. And he's just like, shut.
I don't like you.
So yeah, I think that's it for fights, really. Really cool fights.
Yeah.
The Zod, I forgot about the Zod Superman fight. I like the one where Zod goes and he threatens his mom.
Yeah.
And like is like kind of bullying her. And then all of a sudden like Zod disappears. And you're like, what? And then like it cuts to the Superman like dragging him through the ground. Yeah. Like flies through buildings and he's like punching them over and over and it's like stay away from my family or don't threaten my family. And like he messes up so bad that like by the time he gets done, like his helmet's all effed up and it's like
then of course just kind of the fight scene, like when they first land and they're like the girl is like just zooming across the whole place.
The Smallville fight? Like when it's the girl and that Smallville, other soldier?
Yeah, and they're just like, zgoo, 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 zgoo.
That was pretty cool.
Like almost Dragon Ball Z type fighting.
Yeah.
Where the one soldier, that had the mask on, gets thrown into the train yard and you think he's done.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the very end, a train comes and like takes out Superman and like pins him in the building.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty cool. Pretty cool fight scene. Next, what one did we just do fight scenes?
Fight scenes.
Sidekick. Dude, what's his name in the Superman movie? He was the head
guy from
Marine
Army,
the dude from Law and Order.
Oh, yeah.
And he didn't back down. None. Like, he knew the whole time that he was vastly outpowered. And he was always just like, all right, come on.
Yeah. He pulled a knife on. What's her face?
Yeah. And she's like, really? He's like, I ain't going down without a fight.
I'm not afraid of dying either.
Like, this is going to happen one way or another.
And he makes a sacrifice and, like, crashes the ship into the thing.
Yeah, so they stop the polarization transformation thing.
Terraforming?
The terraform machine.
Top five surprises. Movies that you saw that you're like, I did not expect this. I did not expect this at all to be that good.
Oh, movies in general, not just movies,
not like
not scenes.
Just movies in general. Because the next one is top five disappointments, like movies that you expected to be really good and weren't as good as you wanted it to be. Maybe not horrible. Some of mine are horrible, but maybe not horrible. But like, they're just not as good as you wanted it to be. But top five surprises. My number five is. It's an indie movie I mentioned earlier, Fruitvale Station. Mm-hmm. Like, I heard that it was really good, and then I went and saw it on at the Village 8.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, actually, very, very good. I'll be surprised if it doesn't get a couple of Academy nods.
Really?
But it's all about, like a, not a heist, but like a hold up, like a hostage situation at a train station in the Bronx, I believe.
Yeah.
It's like a true story. It's really good, though. It's very intense, very emotional, but really good. Number four was Now You See Me, because I went in with zero expectations, and I came out very happy with it. Number three, The Wolverine. I expected to be disappointed, and I was personally very...
I liked it.
I was very happy.
Yeah, I agree
with
you.
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it a lot. I would buy it. I will never buy X-Men Origins Wolverine. But I would want to own the Wolverine.
Yeah. No, I'm watching the time.
And then number two is The Conjuring. Because, I mean, yeah, a lot of people said it was really good. But it's just one of those movies that, like, you don't expect it until you see
it. Yeah.
I still have to see that one.
And my number one is Pacific Rim. That was the best surprise of the summer.
Yeah, I'd agree. That was probably my number one. Going into it, I knew I was wanting to see it. Because I'm a big fan of the kaiju, Godzilla, and all that. So I had expectation, but I was even more surprised going into it. Once you saw everything, I was like,
"Yeah,
this gives me so much fun for the new Godzilla movie."
Yeah, I figured it was just going to be fun. And it'll probably be like, man, the graphics are maybe really good, and it'll probably be fun and cool. But it was, the whole movie was a wow moment, really.
Say, honestly, for me, Superman was kind of a
surprise.
Oh, you know, because I'm not a big Superman fan at all. But going into it, I thought they tried their best for a Superman movie. I thought they passed for a Superman. Of course, you know, everyone's like, oh, this should be the boot to Justice League, which they're kind of making it out to be, but I didn't think it was. I think it failed at that aspect. But for a Superman movie, I thought it did well. And it gave me an enjoyable experience.
I will say Wolverine and Superman did surprise me. But that's only because I went in with the lowest expectations possible. That I was going to come out and want to shoot myself in the face after seeing them both.
And you didn't, because you're still here.
And I didn't. I'm still here. So they came out to what I was going to be like completely horrendous. Came out to be a decent movie and a tolerable movie. Superman being tolerable, Wolverine being pretty decent. Like, I will.
Wolverine had a lot of cool fight scenes.
Yeah, like story wise, it may have lacked, and I may have some issues with, but the fighting in it was really good, and the fighting in Superman was really good. But some of the parts, like the fighting, was so much mixed with the story and had such issues with the story that it caused. Yeah, there's just so much wrong with that.
And see, the thing
I'd have to say too, Hangover Part 3 was probably It was a pleasant surprise for me because I mean, I've watched all three of them and I like them, but you know, after you know, for comedy, it's hard to keep going with the same stuff.
Is.
And I thought they finally pulled it off to end it real well.
See, I was a little bit disappointed with 3.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like there were funny parts, but it just it didn't. It didn't have the same feel. I just felt like they were, like, shooting a dead dog. Not kicking a dead dog. Shooting a dead dog.
Yeah. Well, see, I thought it was good, because I liked it better than the second one.
Yeah, I will say that. It was a lot better than the second one. Yeah. For sure. I will 100% agree with that. But still,
but I
like,
feel like
it should have ended with
one.
One-shot
movie.
And I'll still say probably Star Trek is probably even surprised, because I went in the movie with high expectations and came out with even higher expectations.
Well, that's true. And I, you're talking surprises.
Yeah.
And I was going to say definitely the twist at the end with Kurt sacrificing himself instead of Spock.
Yeah, didn't see that coming. It could be a wow moment for you.
Yeah. I thought so. That was a wild moment.
You know, it's really cool, though, that I personally... One of the big reasons why I like the Wolverine so much is that, like, for a while, judge me if you want, I got so tired of Hugh Jackman living out this, like, Wolverine hype. Like, I really got tired of it. I was like... Mm-hmm. And it was after X-Men Origins. That's what did it in for me.
Yeah.
I was like, I had no problem with him in X-Men 1, 2, and 3, whether or not the rest of the movies were good.
Yeah.
But X-Men Origins, I was like, this dude needs to stop. Like, just stop. Don't do anymore. Stop being Wolverine. I did like his cameo in First Class, though, a couple years ago, where he's at the bar. Yeah, and they go to talk to him, and he's like, F off.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay. And leave. But,
I like Hugh Jackman a lot.
I do, too.
He does a really good Wolverine.
Right now, I think he's probably the best Wolverine that they can probably produce. Right.
Yeah.
Now.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Find,
is like,
I can't find another actor who would probably be. A
I
better
would kind of reading that one thing was kind of funny how Russell Crowe was looked at,
considered.
Yeah. I might would just like to see him try, just to see him try, just to see what would happen. I kind of have that. Why not?
Yeah. Well, like the Wolverine reaffirmed for me though that like there is nobody else.
Yeah.
To because he did. Well, Hugh Jackman did an awesome job.
Oh yeah.
Like, he wasn't too whiny, anyway.
No.
And he had a lot of cool fight scenes, and, like, you got the bub comment, and it wasn't forced, like it was in X-Men Origins.
Yeah.
I
it's
hate
so
that
bad.
Movie so much.
Like, one of the issues I did have was just the end with how he gets captured. Like, I felt that was just stupid with all the arrows.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know if it's, like, in this point in time, the comic book Wolverine, like, I feel like he does stuff in the movies that makes him still seem like he's an amateur superhero.
Yeah.
When, at this point, he's not an amateur. Mm-hmm. Like, he's been around, he's, what, 100? He's getting ready to go into... Next era, he's been doing this over 60 years as a superhero per se. He's been fighting wars. He's been, you know, he's done it. But he acts. Some of the stuff he does just seems so amateur in these movies, and I'm like, he's not. And like, he's a lot smarter in the comics. They don't give him. Like, they still at times make him seem like to be just a brute when he's got, like, so... Like, it's just, like, they just don't do him right in the movies. And it just makes me mad. Like, and it just doesn't go together. Like, in one minute, he's all powerful. And he doesn't have healing powers. But he can take, like, 8 gunshots to the chest. And, like, be okay to fight. And then, like, 3 arrows with ropes on it slows him down a little bit from running. And he decides that it's not important to cut these ropes.
No.
Like, it's not just... They're just issues.
So, disappointments now. My number 5. Even though I did like it as a movie, it wasn't what I expected it to be or what I hoped it to be. Lone Ranger. It's a good popcorn movie, and it's a good Disney movie, like... Johnny Depp's good. The guy that plays Armie Hammer, the guy that plays a Lone Ranger, perfect cast, I thought. But, like, it just wasn't a Lone Ranger movie. He didn't become the Lone Ranger until, like, the last 10 minutes of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of the time, he's, like, this sniveling, whiny, funny, you know, goofing up stuff kind of guy. Not a hero.
Yeah.
And it was that disappointed me quite a bit. But, like, the rest of the movie, I mean, it was just really cool. I did enjoy it. My number 4, I haven't seen it yet, and I won't, but I know that it was branded as one of the worst movies made this year, R.I.P.D.
That's kind of sad.
It is.
I still want to see it.
I'll
see it. Just to see, because, you know, sometimes people say it's bad.
And it's not that bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, it did get branded by critics and people saying that it's like, it's up there on the list of worst movies for 2013. I did manage to see After Earth, and it is a disappointment. M. Night Shyamalan, thank you again for crushing my heart and grinding it into sad dust. Will Smith is cool. I mean, he did a good job. but like just everything else, you're just like, really, like, what? What is this movie? What are we doing here, guys? Like, come on. Two, and this, I don't think this one's in really any particular order. I don't think you can like order disappointments.
Yeah.
But two, I wasn't too fond of Hangover 3. Like, there were funny parts in it, and it was a cool ending to the whole story. And how it tied all the way back up to one. I did like how they did that. But I just... And it's definitely better than two.
Yeah.
For sure. But I don't know. I just... Wasn't the... I expected more out of it. Mm-hmm. And my number one... Or on my list. Number one disappointment. World War Z.
Mm-hmm.
That movie makes me angry. movie makes me want to find a zombie. Punch it in the face.
For me, I didn't get too many disappointments, really, for this year. I thought it was a pretty good year,
overall. It wasn't a bad year, that I wanted to see that I thought were going to be good.
I'd say, if anything, was a disappointment, and I won't say because I really enjoyed the movie, was Now You See Me.
Yeah.
I'm watching it. I just felt, I didn't think there was enough really wow moment in the thing. Like, the fight scene was really cool, and, you know... Like, I don't know if they should have waited, maybe, to reveal, like, every, you know, all the stuff. Like, they kept, like, right after the heist was done, then they revealed it. Right after the heist was done, then they revealed it.
Yeah.
Which was okay, but I thought maybe they should do it, and then, like, we have no idea. Until finally, the end, somehow it all just clicked, and it explained everything, and they're like, that's how everything went down.
Yeah.
That would have been more of a wow moment for me, and then just kind of keep on going.
Like, do one and then explain it.
Do one and explain it like they did.
I can, that makes sense.
But, I mean, it was still a really fun movie to watch. I'm not, you know, that's the only...
I mean, that's how I feel about Lone Ranger. That, like, it's a great movie to watch. Special effects are cool. The acting's cool. The story's even kind of cool. It's just, like, the direction of something that they take just doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah.
For me, it's just all movies that I was excited about end up being really good, and then I had such low expectations for everything else that it couldn't disappoint me. So there was no disappointment per se. There's definitely movies that I have issues with, and I won't say are great
disappointment,
but it wouldn't be disappointing because,
as like I said earlier, it's not really being a disappointment as a bad movie, but would be Man of Steel. I was still hoping for maybe the DC. To get that glimpse of an open universe of someone else being there, you know, to have an open universe of, you know, there are other heroes around. And I thought the ending, of course, spoilers, but, you know, they already, you know, almost killed Earth on their first run through, which really you shouldn't do. Because that defeats the purpose of everybody getting together to save the world.
And that's the issue I had with Superman, is they made him be so... If he's that powerful, if you look at it, break it down, I don't think they realized they did it. But if you break down what happens, they made Superman ungodly powerful. That if he did that by himself, there's no need for anyone else to ever be a superhero.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's that powerful, he would never need help.
Right.
Because you really don't have the Krypton, you know, Kryptonite thing anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know how that's really going to work. And you know, they're like, oh, it's the atmosphere and stuff. Well, the ship's gone. It's destroyed. And he didn't... Like you can't just grab a piece of the ship and be like, this is the new Kryptonite now. Because he was, like, flying outside the ship and he's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they did that so weirdly that he almost doesn't have a weakness. Then breaking it down, he killed Zod. Like, what it took Superman his whole life to be able to do, Zod did in 10 minutes. And Zod's been a trained fighter, you know, army, mercenary guy, his whole life. And Superman beats him. And it's just kind of like... It just... issues, man.
It just,
people don't think when they're writing this stuff.
I just thought it should have opened up the DC universe is what I was
hoping. Yeah.
But maybe this next movie will
hit it. Well, it has to because it's
going to be at least two of them.
Yeah.
But hopefully they'll somehow explain, you know, why Batman wasn't there, you know.
Yeah. And they're like,
when the world was ending.
And there's supposed to be like a whole, like, he's older, rugged, like he's been doing this for a while type deal. possibly. Like they said, his Ben Affleck's like
Ben Affleck's. I thought he was just supposed to be kind of a worn, not older, but kind of a.
Well, like he's apparently a vet at this point. This movie. Which, as Zach alludes to, why wasn't Batman there?
Yeah.
And...
Well, I mean, he would still be around if he was Batman.
Well, I know, if I'm saying, like...
Yeah.
Ugh. People just don't write well. Like, why are these people doing this? Like, they need new jobs. They deserve to work at McDonald's. They don't need to be writing blockbuster movies.
God. It's okay, dear. It's okay.
You just need to get comic book writers who wrote the stuff that's good to write for the movies.
But then that's too much work.
It is, but then at least they'd be good.
It's true.
I'd rather it be a lot more work and get something enjoyable than a pile of stinking crap. And then be depressed because they keep doing it. They just keep going to that same cow, getting the same stinking cow pies, and putting them in front of our faces. And telling us that they're going to be great when they're not.
But we always have hope for the future.
We do.
There's always hope for Marvel.
The future looks bright there.
Yes, there's always hope coming from Marvel. Marvel's that glimmering hope. Well, DC has some hope. You got Arrow.
Arrow's really, really good.
Yeah.
And then they are talking about how that's going to be the link to the DC cinematic universe. Mm-hmm. Like Stephen Amell, who plays the Arrow, they're talking about doing a movie with him now. Mm-hmm. And the Flash is getting introduced in the Arrow show, but it's going to be the Flash that's going to be in the DC movies. They've all but stated, they haven't confirmed it officially, but they pretty much said that the Flash from Arrow will be Flash in the movies.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. Anyway, so last one here and then we'll wrap it up. Best top five summer movies, for you personally. Mine. Number 5, The Conjuring. Great movie. Great movie. Number 4, Monsters University. Love that movie. I loved it better than Monsters, Inc.
I still need to see it.
Oh, it's so good. It is hilarious. Just really good. Number 3, Pacific Rim. Number 2, Star Trek Into Darkness. And number 1, World's End.
Okay. Number 5... Wolverine.
Nice.
This is hard because, I don't know. I'm not even going to number the rest of them.
Okay, yeah, they're not doing
it. Because I'd say Wolverine just kind of throw in there for my number 5 because I need them. But the other ones definitely go in with Great Gatsby, Star Trek, Pacific Rim, and The World's End.
World's End's so good.
It is, and it's hard to place them because, they're so good for, different reasons. Mm-hmm. You don't go see Pacific Rim the same reason you'd go see Great Gatsby.
Right.
So, but, those are my top five, with Wolverine thrown in there, because I didn't hate it.
So it made the top five. You're about the same as me, other than a couple of jumbles. I would probably get rid of Wolverine for Iron Man. For me. Iron Man 3 would probably be in there as one of my top 5 for this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't have as many issues with Iron Man 3 as I did Wolverine. Was kind of disappointed though how they did Mandarin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but
it was a happy disappointment.
Kind of at first, and then it was just bad disappointment. It was enough that it humored you, but then at the end, you're just like, oh.
Oh, sad.
Well, because you wanted that magical aspect to kind of come through.
Well, not as magical,
You wanted him to be a villain. You wanted
him to be the bad guy instead of, what's his name?
Killrich.
Yeah, that just...
But he's the bad guy for the extremist storyline, though, which is what they based the movie on.
Yeah.
Mm.
So, I mean, honestly, I really liked Iron Man 3, and I like Ben Kingsley as the Mandarin. Yeah. And I like the setup that they did, and even though, the twist where he's not really the Mandarin, he's an actor, that was funny.
It was funny. It was an amusing twist. I just felt like...
But, yeah.
I would have rather taken him as Mandarin and just had him awesome as the Mandarin instead of getting that little chuckle and then you're sad.
Yeah. Sad chuckle.
It's funny, but then you're like, oh.
Was that your five? Did you say five?
Yeah, I didn't say five, but I mean, it's all of them are there.
Yeah.
You know, pretty much. So.
All right, gentlemen. Well, that is it for us. Thank you once again for sticking with us through the hiatus. And we didn't do housekeeping last time, but we'll do it this time.
Oh, we didn't, did we?
We are on Facebook, World of Geekdom. We have our Twitter, at World of Geekdom. And we have email, worldofgeekdom@gmail.com. So drop us a line, send us a tweet, send us a Facebook.
send us a face. Because I need to change mine out because it all was after me.
Don't literally send us a face.
That would be really...
You're not Hannibal Lecter. Hello, Clarice.
So, but yeah, drop us a line. Let us know how we're doing. How much you missed us, because we missed you. And we will be back in 2 weeks, and we will have Mr. Hollis resurrected and healthy once again. So, toodaloo to the next time.
Bye-bye.